Old Testament lesson for the last Sunday of the church year is written in the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 65th chapter. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy, and her people to be a gladness. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. No more shall be heard in it the sound of weeping and the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not fill out his days. For the young man shall die 100 years old, and the sinner 100 years old shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be the offspring of the blessed of the Lord, and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall graze together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle lesson is written in St. Paul's first letter to the church in Thessalonica, the 5th chapter. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband.
Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, 'Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves.' And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgin came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered, 'Truly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" This is the Gospel of the Lord. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 of them were wise." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. Well, a blessed Lord's Day to all of you, dear ones, and a blessed last Sunday of the church year. So good to see so many of you today, despite all the snow. I was told in one forecast we would get somewhere around an inch, maybe an inch and a half of snow, no more. I'm unsure who it was that gave this forecast, and I have to say I'm equally unsure whether they should still be employed in the weather service, but maybe that goes without saying. Especially for us New Testament Christians in the world today, it is necessary for us to be ever watchful and making preparations to meet our Lord when he comes to receive us into the wedding feast. This is the most essential thing that our Lord teaches us in the parable of the 10 virgins, because we know neither the day nor the hour. And so it is necessary for us to spend our days and devote hours to being wise and watchful, because the Lord will soon come at a time we do not expect. And when he comes, not if, but when he comes and returns for us, the time for us to prepare will be over. It'll be done. There'll be no going back, no hitting the reset button, no mulligans. The time for that will be gone, dear ones. For all of you who are husbands and fathers here, you know full well that there's much preparing to be done when your wife is expecting to give birth soon. And when she looks at you and says, "My water's broke, it's time for us to go to the hospital," that is not the time for you to look back at her and say, "Well, honey, I forgot to tell you, I drove the car all day yesterday so that there's no gas in it. We're going to have to stop at the gas station before we go to the hospital. That's not the time for that. That should have been done beforehand. In the same way, if you ever decide to go skydiving, dear ones, the time when you're free-falling through the air, plummeting to the earth at terminal velocity, that is not the time to think to yourself, okay, great, let me make sure I have my parachute with me. That's not the time for that. There's no going back once you've reached that point. And these examples get to the heart of the matter when it comes to the wise and the foolish virgins in our text, and for us all in the church as we await the return of our Savior. Because on that day when he appears, either you'll be ready or you won't. You'll either be prepared or you won't. And there will be no going back. There will be no time to make up for wasted hours and days having been devoted to worthless things. And what will be revealed for all to see is whether we have been wise or foolish in what we have devoted ourselves between now and then. Our Lord himself says that when the wise virgins took their lamps in preparation for the bridegroom's appearance, they took with themselves flasks of oil. And in view of what little we do know about wedding customs in the ancient Near East, this just makes good sense. In that culture, when a man and a woman were betrothed to be married, and the time of the wedding was close at hand, the bridegroom would depart for a time, and he would be the one responsible, not the bride, but the bridegroom would be the one responsible for making sure everything was prepared, everything was in place, in order, ready to go. He would make sure that the best food was prepared, the best wine was set out, all things were prepared and in order. And people would be waiting. The whole community would be abuzz, wondering if and when today would be the day for the bridegroom to make his appearance, to come into the village and sweep through, bring everyone that was invited, and finally culminate in the retrieving of the bride-to-be. They would all process to the wedding feast. But they had to be watching. They had to wait and watch to see when the bridegroom would come. There was no RSVP at a certain date and time like we do today. That's not how they did it. So you had to be ready. You had to be watchful. And so, with such a great celebration and feast getting ready to start at any moment, day or night, you can sense, dear ones, what would be the proper protocol and mindset for the attendees. What course of action, what frame of mind is proper for them to prepare? When our Lord speaks of certain wise virgins who were called to attend the wedding feast, these wise virgins are the prudent virgins. The phronimoi, to use the language of the Greek text, those who are mindful and giving careful thought to their steps in light of what's coming up ahead. They take the appropriate action at the appropriate time because of what's coming. This is what it is to be prudent. And so, in anticipation of the bridegroom's arrival, at some point very soon, the wise virgins take their flasks of oil because they know that when he comes, there's no going back, as I've been saying. Then and then only, it'll be time to feast and not to prepare. And thus, as the parable plays itself out, you see, and everyone sees, the wise character of these particular virgins whose faces are illumined because of the oil that they prepared in their flasks. And when the bridegroom comes out to meet them, that is a moment of bliss and ecstasy. But not so for the wicked, not so for the foolish, unfaithful virgins. Despite the imminence of so great and important an event, despite so great a feast being just around the corner, the foolish virgins bet against the odds that it wouldn't be today, wouldn't be tonight. And how easy would it be for them to adopt that mindset? Well, it didn't happen yesterday. It didn't happen the day before. I bet it won't happen tonight. Who would do that? And so they didn't prepare. And you have to see this for what it is, dear ones. You have to see this for what it is. For them to be shown such honor and favor, to be invited to a wedding like this, to have the bridegroom preparing for them to be there, cooking the food, preparing the wine, going to all this length for them to feast with him, and then for them to not prepare properly, this would be like spitting in his face and saying, I couldn't be bothered to give you the dignity of a proper response to your invitation, to prepare ahead of time as I should have and do what's needed so that you can even see my face if you come at night, even after all the hard work you've done. So little do I care about you and what you've come to give me. How on earth could these virgins be so foolish? What could possibly be more important than the preparation for this event? It's as if they were completely out of their minds. The opposite of the phronimoi, the prudent. These were the morai, the word we have in the Greek text for moron. They were doing their own thing. And so, as we see in the parable, the foolish virgins, they couldn't bear the shame of going to the bridegroom in the dark, and so they run and try to make up for lost time, but to no avail. Dear ones, their fate is sealed. It's done. The time for preparation is over. And so they come back saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But what do they hear in return? They hear, I do not know you. Which is as much as to say, I have nothing to do with you, who were so careless and negligent and faithless, when you knew I was coming for you, to feast with you, to rejoice with you, depart. Truly, dear ones, I have to say, whatever else people will suffer in hell, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth, I am convinced that nothing will be quite so painful as the suffering of people who knew the promises of God, who had received the invitation to the wedding feast, knowing the Lord Jesus would return soon, knowing what he's come to give, but who spurn him all the same, as if they knew him not, and how they gave themselves over to worthless things that they considered more worthy of their time. They will have no one to blame but themselves. So when you look at your life, dear ones, when you look at how you've prepared in anticipation of Christ's return to bring you into the wedding feast in the kingdom of heaven, do you think that you have been more at home in the company of the wise or the foolish virgins? Which would you say? Have you been prudent as you ought to be in your preparations, being mindful of your ways and your deeds, diligent to keep the sacred vessel of your heart filled with the oil of the Holy Spirit? Has that characterized you up till now? Let me remind you, dear ones, not just of what our bridegroom has prepared for you, but how mindful he has been for you and for bringing you the joy of the kingdom of heaven. He has prepared himself to be a most holy, pleasing sacrifice to the Father on your behalf. He has made atonement for all of your sins and mine, and he has given himself wholly into the devotion of the Father in obedience to his divine commands, without the slightest blemish, without the slightest spot or stain. He has prepared a foretaste for you of this coming feast here in church. You'll partake of that in a few minutes. And he has even gone so far to be mindful and diligent in preparing a place for you in his Father's house. This is what he's done for you. This is what he has prepared for you and for me. So what will you prepare yourselves, or how will you prepare yourselves, and to what will you devote yourselves in preparing to meet him? And since there won't be time when he appears to fill yourself with the oil of the Holy Spirit, it's of the utmost importance that you do so now. And this doesn't mean going off and spending the rest of your days alone in a cave somewhere and spending hours on end in prayer like a monk. But what it does mean is being mindful and circumspect in going where the oil of the Spirit is to be found, namely the Word of God. Reading, meditating, inwardly digesting the Word of God, and coming to church where this Word is preached, receiving the Word and sacraments, all of these, and the mutual conversation and consolation of the saints. As St. Paul says in his letter to the Thessalonians, just after our appointed text for today, do not quench the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit, dear ones. He works in and through all these things for our good. And so for all you fathers in the house, among us today, and husbands, you have a key role in leading your household by example, getting to the point where you're leading brief devotions with your families every night, reading the scriptures, explaining them, praying the Lord's Prayer, and teaching your family to make the sign of the Holy Cross. You're to show your families what it is to be wise and faithful in anticipation of our Lord's return. And so too, you wives and mothers, when you see these things in your husband, encourage them in this. Don't be critical of them, but encourage them, support them in this. It's a precious thing in the sight of God. And all of you children, make sure that you're paying attention and taking note of what your parents are doing, watching to see what it is to live life in the Spirit of God. May God grant us all to be devoted to him in this way, to be found wise and faithful and luminous on the day of his visitation. And to Christ, our bridegroom, be all the glory forever and ever. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.